Blog Talk Radio.
Signatories to the
non-proliferation treaty. So they are, you know, and they're trying to stop Iran simply because we have a very close relationship with Israel, or Israel, as we like to pronounce it here in the United States. And, you know, at 60 Minutes last night, they had a Leslie Stahl had a interesting conversation with Netanyahu, the prime minister, where he was saying, yeah, you know, he had a tense relationship with Obama, but, you know, he feels he can work with Trump. See, this is the thing with Trump, man. This is, you know, above all the other nonsense that the guy engaged, you know, the antics which he was engaging during the election. The one thing that frightens me most about Trump and his sycophants and apologists, he is so naive, so arrogant that he doesn't know how naive he is. Now, he tweeted out a series of tweets, not based on any intel, not based on best practices, not based on treaty, not based on long-standing agreements that we've had with China, basically implying, not even implying, saying it flat out, and he'll wind up lying about it tomorrow after somebody gets into his head and finishes telling him, Mr. President, sir, we don't think that this is what you actually wanted to say, and we need to walk it back. But basically that there is not going to be a one-China policy. Now, what that means is that they consider Taiwan, which broke away in the 80s, obviously a breakaway province. They believe it's part of of China. The United States has, you know, in diplomacy, this is often done. You often work through other embassies or other countries in order to have a relationship. And Taiwan's a power player. You got to, let's be honest about it. You know, they produce a lot of, you know, they manufacture a lot of goods. There's a very prosperous country. And, you know, so at any rate, you know, our relationship with China, you know, has hitherto been sympathetic to that perspective. And so we have it normalized, with an emphasis on operative word, normalized relationships, a relationship with Taiwan. And so by Trump implying or saying outright, however you want to parse it, that he's no longer going to have a one-China policy, man, was like a direct affront to the Chinese. Why this guy wants to, you know, we know the Chinese engage in a lot of shenanigans with respect to trade and devaluing the currency so that the products that they sell or import here in the United States are, you know, undercut our own products that we try to sell back into the Chinese market. We know all that. I mean, you don't even have to be an economist to understand that. But why publicly? This is not how diplomacy is done. And this shows that the guy, and by guy, I mean Trump, the brain-dead comic carnival barker, is wholly ill-equipped. I mean, he doesn't even understand. And then another astounding revelation was that the guy's not even taking intelligence. He's so above this. Here these guys, you know, Barack Obama, Harvard-trained lawyer, you know, a constitutional scholar, and he took regular, oh, my generals are taking it, Mike Pence. What about you, sir? You're the president or president-elect. This is no such designation, but, you know, in the United States, and, you know, sociologically, we like to be able to categorize. It makes it easier for us to digest persons or people. And so we have designated him president-elect. And, you know, it's just, it's incredible. And then on top of that, with respect to the revelations that Russia hacked into these various servers and did the divulged information to WikiLeaks, who promptly disclosed these damaging emails He attacks the CIA. Well, these are the same people that gave. This is astounding. And the Republicans, they didn't say anything when James Comey, director of the FBI, was, you know, against the orders of the Attorney General, who is his putative boss. Loretta Lynch is his boss. It's not the converse. He doesn't enjoy. I mean, I've never seen this before in my life, man. This is that's flat out insubordination. Was a termination offense in any other industry, in the government, outside the government. You can be terminated if you do something that your boss asks you specifically not to do. Now, they're saying in their defense that, well, the boss didn't, you know, Loretta Lynch didn't order him, and the deputy secretary or deputy attorney general didn't order him. It doesn't matter if your boss implies that they would like you not to do something. Typically, you follow suit. I mean, you don't abridge the relationship, or you don't in some way insult your boss by going and doing what they've asked. And beyond that, you know, there's a long-standing policy that that the Department of Justice does not release any kind of, you know, first of all, it doesn't release information on active investigations, period. I've never heard of this. Secondly, it doesn't comment on an active investigation for whatever reason within 60 days of an election. Comey knows this. The guy was beyond, under the Obama administration, he was deputy attorney general. And in the Bush administration, he was acting attorney general. So he's a trained lawyer. He knows this. And he did it anyway. But you heard nary a Republican in either the Senate or the House say anything when Comey divulged that information about, you know, well, it looks like information from an unrelated, wholly unrelated investigation included some Clinton emails. And by that time, the damage was done. Here she was. She had built up a head of steam and was rolling comfortably towards being elected the first female president of the United States. Now, I have a lot of problems with Hillary Clinton. She would have doubtless had a hard time had she been elected. But, you know, let's not kid ourselves. Hillary Clinton is far and above qualified in terms of holding this position beyond being an attorney. And, you know, like I said, I have a lot of – but – you know, Donald Trump is dishonest. He lies for a cause. You know, I mean, every other word out of the guy's mouth is a lie. Let's take a break, and we'll come back on the other side of the break and finish talking about this.
Looking for a hip multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mos, blurs, and spots that are tight, hot, and funky. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verve. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop on popular culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
And we're back here at Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shippen. On the mic is 12-12-2016, Monday, December 12, 2016, 44 degrees, winds out of the north-northeast at 10 miles an hour here in Brooklyn, New York, cloudy and quite cool, but pleasant nonetheless. And we were talking before the break about the Trump debacle that we're witnessing. Here the guy hasn't even gotten into office, and he's embroiled in, by any objective measure, a number of disqualifying events. I mean, it's astounding. But you know what it is, and this is the bottom line. The bottom line is the Republicans were so desperate to get back into power. Now they hold all branches of government. They really, this is on them. Whatever happens from here on out, they are willing to overlook at our expense and at the expense of the very constituents that put them back into office, even though they were found to have been obstructive during the Obama administration, they did not care and do not care and are willing to allow Trump as much rope as possible with which to hang himself and pull us over the cliff at the same time. So this is what we're confronted with, and how we push back against this is anyone's guess. I mean, you know, there's a lot of scuttlebutt on social media about the Electoral College and how we're going to be able to amass a front at the Electoral College and stop there, which is ludicrous. They're not going to do it. The electors in there are bound by, in some ways, in some parts, state law and their own personal ethos to elect Trump, and they're going to do it, and it's going to be unfortunate. And I think that the time from and then in Michigan, you have a federal judge, one a Bush appointee, I suspect. I don't know this as gospel, so don't go quoting me, folk. But that stopped the recount there, which is important because that recount is extraordinarily important. If we got recounts in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, because the margins were relatively slim, 10,000 here, 12 here, 40 there. You know, those aren't large margins. Those, in terms of the entire vote, those are only small fractions of a percentage. And when you're talking fractions of a percentage, you want to ensure that every vote was counted. And, you know, Obama told Clinton, and she listened to concede. And this is what the problem that a lot of us progressives have with the Democrats. And it's the same with black folks. You know, I have a problem with men. We're so willing to follow the rules and do everything according to the rules when we're in power. But the Republicans don't have those same constraints. And when we're going to understand that, whenever we're going to understand that, is when we're going to finally get our agenda promoted. We're not going to be able to ever promote our agenda until we understand that politics is a ruthless business. And just like Gore during the Bush debacle down there in Florida, you know, the hanging chads and all that sort of nonsense in 2006, I believe it was, during that election cycle. You know, Gore comes out and immediately concedes, even though he won the popular vote, and there was some evidence that, you know, he had won Florida, because Florida was the only thing that put George W. Bush, and it was before that, obviously, was, you know, I don't have my dates right. But at any rate, during that election cycle. And we were very angry at Gore because we felt that he should have mounted a protest. But see, the one thing about Democrats is they're more concerned with their reputations, or I don't want to be seen as a sore loser. They don't care. These people don't care about you being a sore loser or not. It's what's in the interest of your constituents. And this is the problem I have with this milk with toast Democratic Party, and they need to. I don't know Bernie Sanders the answer. I don't know. I know that we need militant, almost progressives in the Democratic Party. I know that's where we need to take the party. I don't know if taking it towards socialism is right, but egalitarianism. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see egalitarian, because what's going to happen is they think. And getting back to what I was saying initially, that, and by they, I mean the powers that be in all these other countries that are currying favor with Trump by, you know, buying whole floors in his hotels, and they have his hotels around the world at 110% occupancy. It's absolutely outrageous. And what they think is that they're going to be able to manipulate him, just like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell in the Senate, Paul Ryan in the House, McConnell in the Senate. They think they're going to be able to manipulate this sap, and they're not. Trump is not going to be manipulated. He is going to promote the policies that are in his interest, no one else's interest, but in Trump's and Trump's family's best interest. And there's some evidence, and he said it was astounding. I couldn't believe this, man, because there are any nepotism laws on the books. And he's talking about his daughter, Ivanka, and her husband, Jared Kushner, they're actively, they're rich beyond, imagination. They're actively searching for real estate in a white hot Washington D.C. market down there in Foggy Bottom somewhere. They're looking to buy a mansion, for them 10, 15, 20 million is nothing. And he's saying flat out, my daughter, I really need her. I want her around. She's very strong on women issues and this and that. And Kushner is very talented, and he wants him in the administration. You cannot have him in an administration. And everybody is telling this guy this. And then you have these pundits coming out, lawyers and non-lawyers, and the lawyers should know better. The non-lawyers, I can give a pass to. But you know that Jared Kushner, as a son-in-law, cannot go into a Trump administration in any capacity. It violates anti-nepotism law that is on the book. And the president isn't exempt, though he believes he is, or the president-elect, from these ethics provisions of the U.S. Constitution. It's just, but this is what we see, and this is what institutionalized racism that we complain about often in the African-American community looks like, where you have every cog in the wheel, so to say, from the police, from the prosecutor, from the judges, who are supposed to protect at some juncture the innocent from being railroaded, and they don't do it. What they do, if anything, is they treat African-American defendants more harsher. Even police officers and correction officers, African-American, you can talk to them. I mean, there's a ton of articles on this here, are disciplined more harshly. They tend to lose your jobs at a higher level for misconduct that white officers are often given a pass for, and we see evidence of that just in the case of Eric Garner, was choked to death. The white officer used a restraint technique that is unlawful, is illegal. At one point in my career, I was a young social worker, and I worked for New York State. The agency doesn't exist anymore. I'm not going to mention it. And I didn't do direct care as a social worker, but direct care staff is trained because some of the persons that we served were violent or tended to be disruptive, and you had to take them down. And they were taught these soft, very soft techniques in order to restrain these people. And I have seen a number of occasions where the staff was a little too rough, man. They were disciplined. I don't recall anybody losing a job except in one instance, but that was another. That was an unrelated case where the guy had actually, engaged in inappropriate contact with one of the persons under our care, in our care, in custody. But, in other words, what I'm trying to say, folk, and those that want to join the conversation, give us a call at 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872. Is there's a double standard? I guess that's what I was trying to say. And, Trump emblemizes that double standard. When the shoe is on the other foot, if you'll forgive the mixed metaphors, the Republicans tend to ignore the obvious discrepancies and hypocrisy with their stance is held. But when the shoe is on the other foot, they hold the Democrats, or attempt to hold the Democrats, to a higher standard than they themselves are willing to hold to. The Comey disclosures, case in point. Comey should have been forced to resign immediately, and they're hemming and hawing. Even the Democrats are hemming, and I'm like, what is wrong with this party or this picture? You know, and this is why they say, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans are just flip sides of the same coin. And it's got them. And then I, you know, we published a piece last week. We didn't publish it. We just reposted it. There's a small cadre of African-American, young African-Americans in these offices. And ironically, Tim Scott, a Republican senator from South Carolina, is the only one that has a black chief of staff. None of the other ones do, and their staffs look lily white, young, lily white. And you're like, well, where are all the black folks that they're supposed to be representing? Chuck Schumer, you know, and who's, you know, has a, you know, he has somewhat of a reputation, you know, for, you know, being caustic and abrasive and that's that sort of thing. And the same with Hillary Clinton. And that's why, you know, a lot of persons, a lot of people in the African-American community, you know, lifelong Democrats switch. And, you know, I think stupidly voted for Trump personally. But this is why a lot of them say that we can't have all our eggs in one basket. And I don't agree with that. I think that we should change the party from inside out. There's enough of us, we wield enough influence. And they're saying, well, the Congressional Black Caucus should be spearheading it. And what happened in mid-90s, the Congress eliminated funding to all these special interest groups within the Congress. And at that point, they were forced to raise money for whatever agenda, whatever initiative they wanted to promote. And you know how black folks are with respect to raising money. You know, we're not very good at it, unfortunately, if I can, you know, blanketly say that, and I am. And so the Congressional Black Caucus is impotent. It's a mere a remnant of what it used to be in terms of promoting progressive agendas that directly, positively impact African Americans. Let's take another break, and we'll finish up on the other side.
The Endangered Species Act of 1973 was signed into law by President Richard M. Nixon on December 28, 1973. It was designed to protect critically imperiled species from extinction as a consequence of economic growth and development untempered by adequate concern and conservation. The U.S. Supreme Court found that the plain intent of Congress in enacting the ESA was to halt, reverse the trend towards species extinction, whatever the cause. A species is considered to be endangered if it's in danger of extinction throughout its lifespan or a significant portion of its habitat is threatened, destroyed, or invaded, or if it is likely to become an endangered species within the foreseeable future. Then why are black boys on this list? Black boys are an endangered species. Please go to GoFundMe and to our campaign at /PLZ2MO and contribute generously to help us build an alternative school for these boys that will become a national model for educational innovation. Again, go to GoFundMe and to our campaign at /PLZ2MO.
Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition of yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, 10:58 a.m., Monday, December 12, 2016. This month is just flying past. We're almost at the end of the year. Another year here at Marketing Pulpit International. I think we're going to have a nice New Year's show, January. I don't know when the first Monday in January. And certainly we're going to have a special guest or two or three. I'm not really sure, but stay tuned. And also, have a great week.